time I can stand here and say it, that means that I've been blessed again. And every time you say amen, that means that you've been blessed again. So you ought to be able to say amen this morning, because God has certainly blessed us all. And even though we may not have everything that we want, maybe we don't even have some of the things that we think we need, God is still providing for us in this day and in this age. And I just thank God that He has brought us from such a mighty long way. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Psalms number 100 and verses 1 through 5. And as a companion scripture also, we want to look at Romans 14 and verse number 17, where it says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." This morning, for a subject, we want to take the joys of a Christian life. The joys of a Christian life. Let us take a moment out and go to God in prayer. O righteous and mighty God, which art in heaven, we thank You, Father, that You have brought us to nearing the end of the year. We thank You, and we're praying that we can see it all the way through, O Heavenly Father. For if we see it all the way through and begin the next new year, O Lord, that means we will be going into another year of our life. And we thank You, Father. We thank You that You have given us food, shelter, and clothing. We thank You that You have blessed our families. We thank You that we are not maybe as well as we'd like to be, but thank You, God, that we are where we are. I thank You, O Lord, this morning for Your Son, Jesus, who went to yonder's cross, not because He had to, but because He chose to, O Lord, and because You sent Him to. Thank You, O Heavenly Father. Father, I pray this morning for each and every member in the congregation here, and I pray for those that may be sick this morning that are unable to be with us. I pray for the leaders of the congregation and the brothers and their families, as well as the brothers who have taken part in the services thus far, as well as their families. I pray for each and every family in this congregation this morning, O Lord. And then, my Heavenly Father, I pray for those who may still be on their way, that if it be Your will, You would get them here safely. Thank You, Father, for this weather, for we know that we could have been socked in like other parts of the country, but, Father, You blessed us that we just simply have a coating on the ground, and I thank You, O Heavenly Father. I thank You, Father, that we had food for our bodies, a roof over our heads, and the ability to get up and dress ourselves to make it out to Your house this morning, O Lord. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father, for those this morning who are without, that they may have the things that are necessary, O Lord, that will sustain them in this lifetime. Father, then I pray for those who have not met Thee, that if it be Thy will, that You would give them a space and time that they may stand in the light, O Lord. I thank You, Father, for each and every person who is sitting in this audience this morning, O Lord. And I thank You, Father, that we have the church to come to. Thank You, Father, for everything. And, Father, we pray for the leaders of this world in which we live, that they may not make any rules or regulations that would stop us from worshiping Thee in spirit and in truth. And I pray for peace in this world. Thank You, Father, for all that You have done for us, all that You will do for us, and all that You have done for us, and all that You are currently doing for us, O Lord. Thank You, Father. It is in the name of Your Son, Jesus Christ, we ask all these blessings. Let us say, amen. The joys of a Christian life. This is the time of the year when people are rejoicing. They are rejoicing because they look forward to spending time with family, friends, and loved ones. We get together to exchange gifts, talk about loved ones who are no longer with us, and just talk about things in general. Some even take a few moments out of their schedule to thank God for His many blessings. But there is still another group of people during this time of the year that are unhappy. Some are unhappy because things are not going well in their lives. They feel they have nothing to be happy about. Some have even read all of the happy books, such as How to Be Happy in Marriage, How to Have Happiness Through Wealth, and other happy publications. But you know something? After they read all of these happy books, most of the time they find themselves unhappier than they were before they read the happy books. They become, the more they read, the unhappier they become. May I suggest to all, in order to be happy, They need to get to know Christ. In order to be happy, they can open just one book. There is a book of happiness. There is a book of joy. There is a book of well-being. It's called the Bible. It's the Word of God. If those who are unhappy simply would open the book and become a Christian, their lives would be much better. Not that Christians are always joyful and happy, though they should be. But there are many reasons that bring joy. And the main reason is that we have come to realize, number one, that we are blessed. And when we realize that we are blessed, when we as Christians realize that, we should be Christ-like. When you think about it, we need to be joyful at God's Word, because God's Word is never wrong. And we need to be thankful and joyful that because of His Word, we are where we are. And you know, we many of us complain a lot. We complain because I don't think I'm where I need to be or where I ought to be. But you are where you need to be. You just might not be where you want to be. You may not have what you want to have, but thank God He gave us something to be thankful for. What did He give us? If nothing more, He got you up and you breathe the breath of life this morning. And that's enough to be happy about. So when we think about it, because of the joyful nature of the Bible and the Word of God, we can come to know Jesus. Look at the scripture in Psalms number 100, verse number 1. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise. And I know a lot of us, we like to make groaning type noises. We like to make complaining type noises. We like to say things are not what they ought to be. Things are not what I want them to be. Things are not the way it should be. Well, if you are not God, you don't know how things should be. If you are not God, you don't know whether you are where you ought to be or where you need to be. God has put us in the place where we need to be. We may not be where we want to be. The Bible tells us there in Psalms 100 to make that noise and make it joyful. The first thing we must come to realize about making a joyful noise is that God did not have to do for us what He has done, neither does He have to continue to pour out His grace and His mercy. But yet He does. How many times, church, has God brought you through something? I know He has brought me through many things. God has brought every last one of us through some kind of crisis. Some of us He has brought through more than a few times, including myself. And I tell you, church, each and every crisis that come into my life, it seems as though they get worse and not better. Every time a crisis hits, and I know that's probably because I'm getting older. When you get older, you realize a lot of things that you don't realize when you're young. So when you are a Christian, you have some things to be joyful for, especially if you are an older Christian. And I know what a lot of folk like to say. They like to say that luck, that I've been so lucky and that luck pulled me through again. But Christians know that it's all about the Lord. I looked for the words luck and lucky, and guess what, church? I couldn't find either one of them in God's book. So that tells me that the word luck and lucky is just something that we have brought about. God's goodness, His love, His grace, and His mercy toward us. That's what it means to be a joyful Christian. God has done so much for us. If we take a look at Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 3, around verse number 3, we'll find that God commanded him to leave a reminder for future generations of what He had done for them. And I thank God that we have a reminder. Our reminder is God's Word in the Old Testament. It lets us to know, it teaches us what those folk went through so that maybe we'll do better than them. How many times must God bring us through in order for us to see there is joy in serving Him? When you open the most joyful and happiest book ever written, you'll find many examples of people who met the Lord and their sadness turn to joy. In Luke chapter 8, we find where Jesus healed the man possessed of the devil. Jesus fixed him, and then the man told his whole city what Jesus had done for him. And I want to ask the question this morning, have you yourself mentioned Christ to anyone lately? Have you told someone how that you have been blessed through the Word of God? Don't answer that. Because too many of you are too quiet about the Word of God. Oh, I like some folk. They're real noisy when they're in a social setting, but they don't say nothing when they come to church. Or they don't say nothing about the Master. Have you told somebody what Jesus has done for you? Have you mentioned Christ to anyone lately? Have you told someone how that you have been blessed through the Word of God? Have you let someone know that your loose end have now become tied in? Or have you forgotten about the joy of even knowing the Lord? Have you simply said, I've just been lucky? Oh yeah. It's nothing about the word of God that's lucky. It's His will. His Word will keep us joyful, church. In Romans chapter 14 and verse number 17, the Bible says, The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what I'm talking about, being joyful this morning. And somebody said, well, preacher, what was going on back then? In other words, church, you need to aim at your goal of being that of God. You know, one day we're going to stand before God. And if we're not standing in righteousness, and that means that if we have not served Him and lived a righteous life to be at peace with all men. Now, during the time where that text was written in Romans chapter 14, there were some who had contentions about the diet of others. And so Paul set the record straight. He said, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now, church, I tell you something about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the comforter that Jesus sent to us God sent to us through Jesus when Jesus left here. Isn't that right, church? So somebody might say, well, I don't have a lot to be joyful about. Well, when you think about it, you might need to understand what is joy. Joy is a delight of the mind caused by the consideration of a present or the assured possession of a future good. It's something that brings satisfaction, in other words. Joy comes when someone gives you now or something they promised you, something in the future. Then most of us become joyful. Then there's moral joy. This comes from the performance of that promised action. But the joy that Christians ought to be concerned about is spiritual joy, or the fruit of the Spirit, as in Galatians chapter 5 in verse number 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. The joy that my Bible talks about is the joy that we as Christians ought to be concerned about, not about the joy. And I know around this time of the year, most people get their joy in a package from Walmart or Target, somewhere like that. Some even go to Macy's and get their joy. But I tell you something, church. You cannot buy joy. You can get some temporary relief from your depression and your unhappiness if you get what you want from somebody at Christmas time. But what about when Christmas time is over? Oh, you go back into that same old boat. And they say folk get really depressed around this time of the year. They say a lot of folk commit suicide around this time of the year. But I tell you something, all they have to do is open God's Word and they'll find out that there is joy in the Word of God. Christians know that our joy comes from the Word. And how do we know that our joy is in the world? Well, Galatians 5:22 and verse number 23 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us do what? Also walk in the Spirit. Yes, church, I know this is the time of the year when most of us are full of joy, but we're full of it for all far too many wrong reasons. Some of us get filled with the Spirit, all right, but not the kind of Spirit that I'm talking about. Some get filled with the spirit of all the wrong things. Far too many of us are joyful for all the wrong reasons. But as Christians, I would be hopeful that our reasons are for the right reasons, such as found in John chapter 14 and verse number 16, where Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit or the Comforter shall be with us forever." Now that's something to be joyed about. The Holy Spirit or the Comforter will be with us forever. Another reason that there is joy is when you go over to the text in Psalms number 100. Look at verse number 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. In other words, if you don't like the way I look, I didn't make me. God made me and He made you. So you ought to be joyful, church. Then when I think about it, when I look at this matter just a little bit further, and I think about being joyful, some folks say, well, what would make me real joyful is if I had some more money. And I found out something about money. I found out the more of it that you have, the more of it that you spend. The more of it that you have doesn't guarantee that your life is going to be all wrapped up and tied up in a nice little bow. It means that you have to constantly be on guard, because if you got enough money, somebody is always trying to get some of it from you. If you don't have enough money, then that's another situation. So the happy median is found in God's word, where He said, Paul said, God will supply all your needs. Now that's something to be joyful for. Then, when you think about that, I didn't make myself, nor did you make yourself. I think about today, and today is a great time to be joyful. For we are the sheep, and we have a shepherd, and His name is Jesus. In John chapter 10, in verse number 14, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I am known of mine." So, church, I'll ask the question this morning. Do you know your shepherd? Do you know your shepherd this morning? Do you know who your shepherd is? And if you do, you ought to be filled with joy. But look at verse number 15 of John chapter 10 also. Jesus said, "I lay down my life for my sheep." How joyful and how thankful we ought to be that He did just that. He gave up His own life, that mine and yours might be saved. Then, church, when you look at it a little further, there's joy in prayer. The Bible goes to great lengths to let us know that we are to pray. We are to ask God for our needs. Yet some people would rather go deep into debt, buying material possession, and rather than bring themselves to be joyful through the Lord. And guess what? They soon become bored with those material things, and then they go out and get something else, and they become bored all over again. Oh, you know, some folks say, well, if I can just go out and get this, or I can go out and get that, I'm going to be happy from now on. Well, happy don't last forever. And you know, I would ask the question this morning, if you're so joyful, why aren't you in church? I'll tell you why. Too many people are finding their happiness watching Happy Pony, like that little girl on that commercial. "I want to watch Happy Pony," she said. But then when you think about it, church, there's no happiness without the Lord. And when you look at Luke 18 and verse number 1, my favorite scripture about prayer, it says men ought to always, not sometime, not for a little while, not in a little while, but always pray and not to faint. What does that mean? Well, that means that you don't give up. You just keep asking for what it is you're asking for. In Isaiah chapter 56, around verse number 6 and verse number 7, God spoke to those who said, "If you join Him and serve Him and love His name, be His servants, He will make them joyful." There is nothing or no one, church, in the world of whom we can pray and find joy except God. there's joy in the Christian life. Some folk think just because the world claims that this is the time of the birth of Jesus Christ, they ought to pray. But my Bible says we pray always, not just this time of the year. And I like some families, how they gather around the dinner table. And as they gather around the dinner table, they break out in prayer. The man who never prayed all year, but he decided now is the time for a prayer. He decided now is a good time, and I wonder sometime if he's just showing his family that I can pray, or is he really praying to God? Well, I don't know. I'll have to leave that up to him. But I just want us to understand that we ought to pray always. When your joy has turned to sorrow, you pray. When your pain is so great, whether it be physical or emotional, pray about it. When you are bogged down up to your neck in trouble, pray about it. And then turn over to Psalms chapter 32 and verse number 1, where it says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." This is not the only time we ought to pray. We ought to pray all the time. And even if you are a person with everything. And you know there are some folk, they claim they have everything. But even if you are that person and you have everything, I want to just take an example out of the Bible. If you are like this man Solomon, you may come soon to find out that like Solomon did. Solomon was a man in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. He was a man who sought in his heart to give himself unto wine. He made himself great works, built himself houses, planted vineyards, made pools of water, had servants and maids. But he soon found out that all of these things were vanity and a vexation of the spirit. He realized that wisdom exceeded folly. How many of us are going to have to realize the hard way that material things are sometimes nothing but folly or vanity, if you will. But we must learn to be joyful and thankful in the Lord. Accept the fact that God knows what He is doing. Accept the fact that wisdom is greater than all material things. And if somebody out there would say, "Well, I don't have any wisdom," well, the Bible addressed that too in James chapter 1. He said, "If any of you lack wisdom, seek it and get it from God." God gives wisdom, church. And if you want joy, you got to first have a little bit of wisdom. It's hard to understand some people when they don't trust in God, but they'll trust in the newspaper or they'll trust in the internet, but they won't trust in God. According to what some say, they believe the internet more than they believe in God. Somebody today ought to be willing to stand up and thank God for giving us joy. Out of some 680 billion with a B people in the world today, we should have more who would stand up and say, "Thank you, Lord." Out of the 400,000 babies that are going to be born on any given day, somebody ought to be thanking God. And even if you are among the 150,000 on a given day who shall depart this life today, God is still good, church. And I wonder sometimes how come there are only about 2 million people who worship in the Church of Christ out of 680 billion people. That's something to think about. Then I wonder why some folk just won't stand up and say, "God is good." Somebody needs to understand. Somebody needs to say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you for our lives, that if we have lived right, when our time comes to be counted among that 150,000, we can go home to our Savior." Someone should be willing to say, "Thank you, Lord, for knowing my weaknesses and then giving me the strength to overcome them." Someone this morning ought to be willing to stand up and say, "Thank you, Lord, for the church that is equipped to teach the Word of God." Someone this morning should be willing to say, "Thank you, Lord, for bearing a cross that we could not bear." Someone needs to be willing to say, "Thank you, Lord, that when we lose our joy, we can go like David did in Psalms number 51 and ask for a restoration of our joy. Church, there is joy in the Christian life. Sent by the Lord, the Holy Spirit is joy to us. And finally, church, as I bring this on to a close, we find joy and hope in the Word of God in Romans chapter 5, around about verse number 2. We stand and rejoice in the glory of God. So, church, you need to be joyful today. There's nothing like being joyful in the Lord. And I know that some of you are saying, well, preacher, it's a joyous time of the year. We sing Christmas carols around the Christmas tree, but you know, one day the Christmas carols are going to disappear. The Christmas tree is going to die, and we're going to have to toss it out because Christmas will be over. But will your life and service to God end with the Christmas tree? Is that the only thing that's bringing joy into your life? You need to reconsider. You need to do an inventory if you think that this is the only time of the year that we are supposed to be joyful. I'm joyful when it's 100 degrees outside, and I'm joyful when it's no degrees outside. Because God has given us this weather. And I just thank God, if you think we're not in good shape, look at those people out east. They're digging themselves out of snowstorm. 1,800 traffic accidents in one state in one day. That's something for us to be thankful for. How many of you remember the storms that we had in 67 or 68, whenever it was, when we couldn't even move around, but God blessed us to get through that, and He brought us to where we're at today? That's something to be joyful for. How many of you are married and got a family that's happy and healthy at home? That's something to be joyful about. How many of you have opened up your Bible lately and read a scripture and thought about it and said to yourself, thank God for this scripture. Thank God for the Word of God. Oh, you need to be joyful. And if you got a dollar in your pocket, be thankful to God for that dollar. Some of you say, I wish I had some more money. Well, all of us probably wish we had more money, because we never seem to get enough money. But those that have everything, they're not as happy as you are, many of them, with that $1 you have. And they have millions of dollars. They put on a show, a facade, if you will. But I just thank God for what I have, because I am what He made me. And you are what He made you. And there's no way of getting around. I see Brother Burnside getting in his wallet. He's getting ready to pay me. But I tell you, nevertheless, church, God's Word is right. God's Word is joyful, and the Holy Spirit brings us joy, and He comforts us throughout this life. And you know what? We don't know how many days we've got left in this world, but I do know one thing for certain. And Hebrews chapter 9, around verse 27, bears that out. Once appointed to man to die, and then after death, you know what happens? So I know for sure, without a doubt, I just don't know when, but every one of us in here are going to lay out one day in a casket before somebody's altar or somebody's funeral home, and we're going to have to make it right with God before we get there if we want to die right. Isn't that right? And then when I look back over the entire Word of God, I find Jesus being the central theme of God's Bible in His Word. How that He lived, died, and lived again, that we might live. Church, do you want to live like the Lord? Do you want to be Christ-like? If you do, we're going to give you that opportunity right now. We're going to tell you how you get into the Lord. You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. If you've already been in the water, if you've already been there, but somehow, you've walked astray, you need to come back home. Ask the Lord to forgive you, then come forward and ask the church to pray for you, that you may gather strength. And you know what? Don't be ashamed to come forward and ask the church, because you know what? You may pass somebody along the way who say, I would go up, but ain't nobody else up there. But if you walk past them, maybe they'll come up too. There's no shame in asking God for forgiveness. I've had to do it many times, and I'm sure that if I live any more time, I'll have to ask Him again. And you will too if you do it right. If you are at that position in your life right now, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation, please come.